Get that bass.
Woo! Woo! Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com.
In the words of the immortal Ric Flair,
Space Mountain of motorcycle radio shows. Woo! Sometimes you gotta walk that aisle.
You gotta walk it out.
You gotta walk that aisle. A couple things. One, let's talk about Patreon. We have our patreon.com/NTN. You can go there and get our NTN the Doghouse Unhinged show and stuff like that there on NTN. On the Patreon. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. I don't know why I can't concentrate today. For as little as a dollar a week, you get an extra half hour a week of bonus content. Most of the times, because we always usually remember to do that. This week, we talked about like SpaceX. We talked about the Super Bowl. We talked about commercials, crappy commercials. Super Bowl, SpaceX, something else.
There's a little bit of everything.
There's always a little bit. It's like whatever.
Super Bowl
like,
commercials, Super Bowl catches.
It's like whatever catches our fancy that week.
And so we just riff on it.
Yeah, so we just
freestyle.
Freestyle. You know, like when you walk around in your jeans and no underwear. No, that's free ball. Sorry, I thought that was freestyle. I screwed that all up. Don't listen to me. I'm an idiot.
And speaking of idiots.
Wait, let me finish. I'm still doing promotional stuff.
Oh, okay.
Woo! Also, if you like us and you like some of this content we do and you realize we're screwed up and we don't know what we're talking about anything, but we generally try to be entertaining, we put up a new show on ntnradio.com called The Marvelous Ones. Warren and I and a guy named Fernando, who actually has like creds and a very capable person in the world of sci-fi and movie stuff.
Yes.
So he sits in the studio and we talk sci-fi on it. Well, Star Wars, Marvel, DCU.
Pretty much all over the place. Anything that has sci-fi is open game.
Yeah, pretty much anything on sci-fi is open game. And there's a lot of like ribbing back and forth between us, and we generally just try and have a good time with the show. Yeah. So if you like sci-fi, go check that out.
You can also get to it on Facebook at Facebook/The Marvelous Ones.
Yeah, see the Facebook/The Marvelous Ones. So check that out. We've been posting. We put up a bunch of shows this week and stuff like that. We'll probably do one a week, just like we do the Doghouse here. So that's that. Now I want to talk about bad things. Very bad things.
I can't imagine where you're going with this.
Yeah. So, Warren, name me two of my favorite motorcycle racers.
J.D. Veitch.
Mm-hmm.
And Rossi.
I wouldn't know if Rossi's one of my favorites. I'd like to see Rossi win a 10th championship. But yes, J.D. Veitch always qualifies as one of my favorites. Because what do I always say about J.D. Veitch?
He can ride anything.
Uh-huh. What do I always say about that? I always say that no matter what race he's ever in, he's always going to be competitive.
He's going to have a chance.
He's got a chance to win. If he's on the track, he's got a chance to win. And I don't care what kind of track that is. Didn't matter that it was the Super Prestigio. Pretty sure the whole world now thinks the same thing I do with J.D. Veitch. If he's there, he can win.
I don't like where this is headed.
So, I'm checking out my Instagram. I'm checking out my Facebook. I'm checking out my Twitter on Saturday morning.
Your socials.
My social medias.
You're socializing.
I'm socializing.
Socializing,
man,
and profiling.
Know. Yeah, I'm just out there doing my thing.
Got your alligator skin shoes on.
And I see a picture that at first outrages me. Gets me mad.
A picture?
Gets me angry. A picture. And it's got the Jiggy Dog in it.
How can a photo of Jiggy Dog make you upset?
Because Jiggy Dog was sitting next to Josh Hayes.
Promoting the sport.
But then I looked at the picture a little closely. There's a motocross bike in front of him. They're wearing motocross gear. And then I read the caption. And Jiggy Dog said, "Oh, I want to thank everybody," and I don't remember if it was Suzuki or I think it was Yamaha. He goes, "At Yamaha," yeah, because Yamaha, he's a Yamaha rider. "I'd like to thank Yamaha making giving me the opportunity to make one of my goals come true for my once ever chance at Oakland Supercross." My head exploded. I almost said the F word right there on the Doghouse. My head exploded. Fist pumps, yelling, "Oh yeah, J.D. Veitch is going to win Supercross."
All right, I missed the first heat of the 250s because I didn't realize it was the West Coast. I was waiting for 10 o'clock. I came on at 7.
Yeah, I know. Warren, I literally was screaming and yelling, giving it the Stone Cold Steve Austin, oh, hell yes.
I didn't see him on there.
Ron Simpson from the Acolytes Protection Agency, down. Ron Simmons, down. I'm there. Eyes bugging out of my head. I get home because I had to tape the race because I was out doing something. I get home. I watch Heat Race 250. No J.D. Beach. Second Heat Race 250, no J.D. Beach. And I thought, well, J.D. Beach got to run. Jiggy Dog, run 450.
He's going to be the man. He's going to run from the start.
He don't run no woman's bike. Jiggy Dog, run the 450. I watch Heat Race number one. They ain't talking about him. I notice Tinkerbell shirts there. Ralph Shaheen and Jeff Emig ain't even talking about the Jiggy Dog. And I'm thinking the most electrifying man in professional racing, motorcycle racing.
In America.
In the world right now.
All right, I'll give you that.
With the Super Prestigio this year, 2018.
Because there's nothing else going on right now.
So far, he's won the biggest race of 2018 on two wheels.
That's a true statement.
True statement. You'd be talking him up. If the Super Prestigio winner is going to be there, you're talking him up. And I'm going, maybe they don't know. And I was like, man, I should have been live tweeting, been like talking about the Jiggy Dog. I watched the 450 heat race number two.
Wasn't there.
Wasn't there. Now I stop everything.
And I hit pause.
I hit the pause. And I go.
Menopause?
Mental pause. Which is what women get when they turn 50.
There goes their last
send
female
hate mail
listener.
Ken actually has that as a shirt, so send the hate mail to Ken at ntnradio.com.
Yeah, please do.
So I'm like, no way Jiggy Dog didn't qualify. How's that possible?
That don't make no sense.
Let me check the socials. I go up there, and there's a post from Jiggy Dog saying, yeah, I was just kidding. Josh Hayes and I are at some other track. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
Jiggy Dog, that's how you get punched in the face.
Oh, JD, that was wrong.
I owe you a punch in the face.
That was just wrong.
I was so damn excited to see Jiggy Dog go out there and beat Ken Roczen, go out there and beat Marvin Musquin, go out there and beat
Big P.
Big P, Aaron Pleasanter, go out there and beat, well, he wouldn't have been in 250s. Go out there and beat Jason Anderson. Go out
Money
there
Marvin
and,
Musquin.
And walk a mud hole in Justin Barsha and stomp it dry. And then to get up there and say, $25,000 watch, $15,000 shoot some Jiggy Dog. Woo! I was all ready for that. It didn't happen. I literally would have punched Jiggy Dog in the face if I had seen him. And I love Jiggy Dog, but I had to hit him as hard as I could. Because you should not do that to a grown man. You should not do that.
I am glad I did not see that post. Because I'd have been upset too.
Oh my God, I was so excited because I thought he's going to pull the biggest triple crown move in professional racing. And I was like, that just shows you that he's the man. What I learned out is that when you hang out with old people, they do nasty things, and old people are mean, and Jiggy Dog, don't hang out with old people. I don't know if that's the right thing, but that's what I feel like. I feel like betrayed. So I said something to one of the Doghouse listeners who happened to be online, like, did you see this Jiggy Dog announcement? And sent me that Jiggy Dog announcement. And I said to another one, I was like, I told him what happened. He's like, haha, you got Jiggy Dogged. And I was like, oh, I totally got that.
Like a Rick Roll, you got Jiggy Dog.
Yeah, I felt like that Manti Tao or whatever his name
got
was. They got catfished. I felt like I got catfished by Jiggy Dog.
That's sad, man. I'm glad I didn't see it.
I'm glad you didn't see it either, because we'd have been like driving to wherever they are right now, just laying the smackdown on him. Taking his grandfather, Josh Hayes' cane, throwing it out the window, stuff like that. Woo, I'm a jerk tonight. So let's go. Let's start talking about some real racing stuff other than me being a jerk. World Superbike announced a new track they're going to be racing at, which is not being finished, being built. There's nothing I can do about the performance problems of your microphone, Warren.
I'm having issues with the mic.
You are definitely having tissues with the mic. Yes, it has been announced that in hopefully 2019, They're saying definitely 2019. I'm saying hopefully 2019, just because I've seen tracks being built and it never goes as planned. They're talking about.
It takes a lot of money to build a track.
It does. They're talking about having a 3-year deal with the bosses of the new Lake Torrent Circuit. So apparently, not going to be able to download anything from this track legally.
Oh,
couldn't resist that one. But they're going to bring production bike racing to Northern Ireland, and they're going to be racing there. I don't know the geography of Ireland well enough to know where this county is, but it's in like Coal Island, County of Tyrone. I don't know if you're from Ireland. Give me a clue where that is. I thought Ireland was just a tiny little island. I didn't know you didn't have.
Maybe it's got an island. Maybe it's an island like the Isle of Man, where they turned the whole island into a racetrack.
No, it looks like an actual track. So there's a picture of it on one of the posts. It looks like a challenging track.
Let me ask you this question: what would you think of having a World Superbike stop at Isle of Man, and you run the Isle of Man track as the World Superbike race? That could be pretty crazy.
Also,
it could get a lot of people killed.
Yeah, I'm more worried about that, right? Like, I think street racing like that is just as much as I think road racing and supercross racing and all those things are an art form that you kind of protect that. Like, when you're on a track racing World Superbike, you kind of are, like, focused, and you know there's going to be no people running across you, deer, the surface is smooth.
I don't know. A couple times people hit birds and other things.
Yeah, but in general, you have a lot less distractions.
Hitting a seagull at 100 miles an hour is not going to feel very good, no matter where you are.
There's a lot of distractions there. So I'm looking at this track map of the new track that's being built. I don't see any place for, like, grandstands.
Yeah, it did look kind of tight, but maybe that's just maybe they're just showing the track itself.
Yeah, but if you look at the track itself, two sides of the track have water. I mean, I see a building where they're going to have parking, but I don't know. It looks like a 3-story building, and I've been in 3-story buildings at road races. You really can't see through the trees. You see the pit garage area, but the track is on a small piece of land. It's only 163 acres. I'm saying only, right?
Like that's for a track,
that's not big, right? Point. It's 1,700 acres. I think it's 190 acres for Dominion Raceway down the road, right? I mean, I don't view 163 acres as a big plot of land, especially there's two big-ass lakes in that thing. So I'm just a little curious. Now, maybe they think sponsorship stuff and all that kind of stuff, they don't have to have the trailer, the souvenir, the ticket sales.
Well, you know they're going to have that. Otherwise, they're not going to make any money.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. And I can't see standing in that building being good viewing of a lot of the track. So I don't know what that's all about. It doesn't make much sense. It don't make sense to me.
Well, that is just an artist conception. So yeah, maybe they'll actually build something.
Yeah, somewhere they got to. I mean, if you were just going to say, hey, great track day track and stuff, yeah, you don't need stands. But if you're going to bring pro races in, you got to have stands, you got to have places people to get into the stands. You got to be able to see the tracks. I mean, there's some cool looking curves and a couple cool kinks and stuff where it's like, whoo, I'd like to sit there, but I don't see any place to sit.
I'm sure they'll work that out because they know they got to bring in people to watch.
I guess so. I hope so. So that's exciting. Hopefully they're not going to get rid of any track. They're just going to add, that'll give them 15 rounds instead of 14 they got now. More rounds, more better. Speaking of World Superbike and MotoGP, before we get too far off that track.
Oh, look at that pun.
Track. I didn't even mean to.
Track.
That's not pun. That's a lead-in. Right?
Whatever.
A pun is like when you use a word that's close to
all right, moving right? on.
I don't know. You're confusing me with the English. Warren, you're the last person to be lecturing me on English.
Next to last.
The new Doghouse Radio World Superbike MotoGP pool is going to be starting in 3 weeks when World Superbike starts their season.
And where are they starting their season this year?
At a track.
And where is that track?
usually they start at Phillip Isle, right?
That's probably where they have been recently.
I don't know. Why are you asking me questions? When I set out a track, you should have known I didn't have the answer in my mind.
I know. That's why I kept on going.
You're a jerk. That's why nobody likes you. Yes, it's going to be in Australia. Yeah. They always start in Australia. February 23rd through the 25th, if you're in Aussie, you get down there, have fun. Hashtag us in some posts with some pictures. Two things I'm important of knowing that are important to me to know is to make sure that MotoGP and World Superbike do not follow the wussies at Formula One and do away with Umbrella Girls.
Which
Formula One
put hundreds of girls out of a job.
Hundreds of pretty women. People are out of a job because of ugly people, and that's BS.
Hundreds of women are no longer employed.
That's right. Lose their jobs because some ugly person.
Why'd you do it, Phil? Why did you do that?
Lord, no, I didn't do that. I'm one of the ugly people that supports Umbrella Girls, whether it's at the track or in the strip bars they work at. I mean, no.
Oh,
that's how I get punched in the face. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I didn't mean that.
I thought you was going to go ding, ding.
Oh, yeah, ding, ding. Yeah, that could be too. Ching. No, but that's not true. But it's very sad that Formula One has succumbed to modern-day political correctness.
Peer pressure.
Just sad. Umbrella Girls are an important part of the sport for getting the word out about products, giving guys something to look at that they understand.
So the question is now, how are they going to get that advertising money back?
They're probably going to be ugly fat people.
No, they said they're getting rid of that whole thing.
Yeah, they're getting rid of that whole thing. I don't know. I mean, to me, that kind of devalues the sport.
So that means that...
Because when you look at pictures and you do a hashtag of Sepang after MotoGP's been there...
So that means Rossi...
70% of the pictures are of the girls wearing the, you know, movie star... Umbrella Girls, or the Monster Energy Umbrella Girls, or the
whatever
Red
product,
Bull, right,
or whatever
product, right? They get more shares globally that way than anything that you can actually do.
Yeah, so that's a lot of revenue that somebody is losing.
Yeah, there's a lot of value add. But there's a lot of value add there.
Well, whether it's value add or not, it doesn't matter. It's still a lot of money somebody's losing.
Yeah, and
so where are you making
girls,
it up?
Plus, all those girls are out of jobs.
So if I'm the sponsor,
and now they
for
don't
F1,
have any reason to be healthy, right? What if they develop like heart problems because they get fat because they don't have jobs anymore?
So if I'm the F1 marketing guy now, and that company comes up and says, we had a contract,
yeah.
Where are you going to put my product,
right? For X amount of TV time, X amount of social media play, X amount of this, X amount of that. I'm with you. I am with you 100%. I think it's crap. That's why ugly people shouldn't be allowed to have a voice. Notice how talkative Ken is.
Well, you got Ken, who's obviously not saying anything, but then why are you speaking?
Hey. Ugly people are people too? No, that doesn't make any sense. Anyways, let's get into Supercross.
Oakland.
Speaking of Monster Energy Girls, the early show at
a West Coast one that started at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and just messed me all up.
Yeah, but, I liked it. You had the sun and the setting sun and the shadows and stuff.
I like that every time they're on the West.
Me too.
7 p.m. Eastern.
There's no reason to be up at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, watching a race that could have happened earlier. Right? I'm with you on that. Your boy Plassinger,
Big P.
He's trying to make himself the points champion this year,
and he's trying to do a good job at it too.
I think he is. I think the biggest shock for me in the 250s class was Justin Hill hit the podium
for the first time this season.
For the first time in this year, I was shocked by that. I was literally shocked by that. He has not been anywhere near good this year.
Now he hasn't held up the championship look from last year.
No, he has not. So I was kind of excited to see that. I mean, maybe whatever has been bothering him, he's got a little fire under his butt.
And, maybe his ride came over and told him, You know how to get to the, you know.
Yeah, Suzuki could have been like.
Top five at minimum now.
Suzuki could have been like, hey, you know, so we're spending all this money, right? You got to step up. So that was good to see. Savatgy had a good race. Plessinger looks like he's the dude to beat in the West.
I think he is.
I think he is. He's got no hole shots. He's got to work on his start some, but, you know, he's been racing in the lead. You know, they put up all kinds of stupid stats, and the one I find most interesting is his average start position is 5.8. Well, you got guys like Savatgy, 3.5, McElroth, 4.8, Christian Keg, 5.0. You know, so he's not even getting the best starts, but the starts don't matter, man. It's the end of the race. And he's got 3 wins on this season out of 3 out of 5, right? 5 races they're now in?
Yep.
So, you know, and there's not that many more, right? It's an eight week season for that.
And your man C. Cirillo's having the last 2 races not been kind to him.
You know, they have
his top 10 finishes, but still,
yeah,
he
but
has flashes where he looks good.
7th this week, but you know, realistically, he's only 6 points out of 3rd place, and he's 17 points out of 2nd place, and 25. He's a 1 win out of 1st,
yep.
Right? But
assuming no one else finishes,
assuming nobody else finishes, right? But he's still in there. 4 races, 25 points is not insurmountable. But it's looking less and less like he's a championship contender.
And the rookie Chase Sexton did well again this week. Another top 10 finish.
Yeah.
6th place overall.
Yeah, you know, I kind of felt for him a little bit because he was doing well and then he fell back. But he managed to save it and got 6th. You know, sometimes things start going bad and you kind of judge people by what happens when things go bad.
Yeah,
you know,
he seemed to pull back out towards the end.
Yeah, he did seem to salvage a bad weekend, which is always a good thing. So that was exciting. I thought the race was pretty exciting. I thought it was pretty good. It was definitely a big what do I want to say? It was definitely a big statement for Plessinger. That's the word I was looking for. Plessinger made a pretty big statement by getting that 3rd win, right? Savatgy gets that win. Now it's 2-2. They're probably less than 6 points away on the championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Plessinger made it.
Plessinger put the work down this week.
Yeah, so it was good to see that. And we get over to the 450s. This goes into a lot of... number one, Tyler Bowers crash.
That was pretty
rough. That was rough.
That was rough.
There was nothing about that that didn't look rough. You know, the ruts this week were pretty bad. They had problems. A lot of guys hit tough blocks. I saw you tweeting about that.
Yeah, I put out there, Oakland 2018, revenge of the ruts or revenge of the tough blocks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of guys coming off, a lot of guys struggling, a lot of guys.
I don't know who it was, but I think it was the LCK. 450 LCQ, where they had several guys go off the track at the hole shot.
Yeah.
And one of them tried to ride across the tough blocks.
Yeah.
It didn't make it.
No, the tough blocks are hard to traverse. You almost need yourself like a trials bike.
You kind of high-centered it.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a rough weekend riding. A lot of guys had problems with the track. Mistiming, you know, Tyler Bowers, that was a mistiming on the rhythm section.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was just a mistiming, and it looked like throughout the race, even in the 450 final, and he was on probably a way to career best when that happened, too.
Right? Probably was.
I think, what was he running, 5th or 6th?
Something
at the
like
time?
That, yeah.
That was like career best for him. So that's very sad, but I was encouraged that he was up there, right? I mean, I was shocked to see him up there.
Ken Roczen looked real good.
Ken Roczen looked very mortal to me.
He looked real good. He led a good chunk of the race, and then he didn't.
Ken Roczen's leading the chunk of the race because the Honda's the fastest bike on the street.
It is definitely a good bike.
Right? It's definitely the best bike.
Silly did really well on his as well, so between the two of them, they didn't do that bad.
They didn't do that bad, but Roczen looked very mortal to me. He cannot. If you can get close to him, he can't race you. That's it. That's the bottom line.
So far we can't tell anything else because that's what it's looked like the whole time.
He hasn't been able to race anybody. When you get it used to be you couldn't get close to him. And if you were named Ryan Dungey, you could get close to him. The battle kind of inspired him, and he had the ability to drift all over the court, all over the track, and he doesn't have that now.
Yeah.
Will that ever come back? I don't know.
It could be some knocking some rust off.
You know. It could be,
we'll
but
have to see.
It definitely looks more like to me that he can't choose the lines like he used to because of his inability to move his arms.
Well, that's true, and this race is probably... This track was a bad
was
track
for
have that problem.
Yeah.
To have that kind of a problem.
Yeah, no doubt.
But he still finished second.
Yeah, but he got... When have we ever saw Ken Roczen get beat on the last lap, get chased down and beat on the last lap? We've never seen that.
Yeah, no. I'm going to withhold comments about Anderson here for a few moments. But there is one guy who had even a worse night than Roczen.
Roczen
probably thought he was going to win.
Yeah, Malcolm Stewart?
Well, Malcolm got hurt, so no.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going with that.
No. Malcolm got hurt, so he didn't. I'm saying Eli Tomac had the worst night of all.
He didn't
get hurt. He didn't get bashed up. He got raced hard and dropped the bike and finished in seventh overall?
No, 13th.
13th overall. He was in seventh coming out of the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he is.
You know,
he's so far behind now.
Yeah, I feel like a jerk when I say this, right? Because I did in 250s. I used to love Eli Tomac. I thought Eli Tomac to me was one of the best 250 riders we'd seen in a while. He was a machine. He'd get on that bike. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. Right? He was a machine. Now he gets to the 450s and he just makes mistake after mistake after mistake.
He's in 12th overall in points.
Right? You know, this is his year to win the championship.
Not now.
Right? Last year was his year to win the championship.
Yeah.
He's like the guy on the old commercials for the Olympics or NBC's Wild World of Sports, right? The thrill of victory.
And the agony of defeat.
He's that snow skier with the leg all up and coming back, right? He's a mess.
Well, he's got, immediately in front of him is Brock Tickle and Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb didn't have a bad night.
No, Webb didn't have a top 10 finish. Musquin finally looked better, but not great. I really like the way Baggett looks this year. Barcia had his worst finish of the season. But he had a good race. He's still in third. But to your point, I just pulled it up. Eli Tomac has 63 points. Jason Anderson, 115. That means he's 52 points back. Five races in.
It's going to be tough.
That's two full races.
And a 13th is not going to get it.
No, I mean, you know.
And you can't say that, well, he got dropped. So did Musquin. And Musquin got dropped harder.
The bigger problem is
And he got back up and finished. Wow.
We
that was a
too
quick
much
show.
Stuff. But yeah, so Jason Anderson, still your points leader.
He looked good.
Anderson, El Hombre.
Come through the pack.
And then
put Marvin down.
Yep.
And then chased Roczen down and won.
Chased Roczen down and beat him. He's looking good. I'm going to say he's your favorite right now. And he's not somebody who I would have. We probably mentioned him as a favorite. Because he was top three in points last year and blah, 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 blah. Or top four in points last year. But I would have never thought it.
I would not have thought at this point in the race that it would have been Anderson and Roczen 1-2.
No, I thought Musquin and
Tomac.
So, stranger things have happened. This is the Doghouse here on ndnradio.com. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. You can check out our show over there and do some donating to the show. $1 a week gets you the Doghouse Unhinged, and it gets you the show. It's all one download. You just grab it right from there. And also check out the new show on the network called The Marvelous Ones.
Which you can get on Facebook.
Which you can get on Facebook also. Eventually we're talking about moving everything to YouTube. I know we tried that a couple years ago and blah, 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 blah. But it looks like YouTube or Facebook Live is where we're going to
When you got a face for radio, It's tough to do something
else. We'll figure out something. Maybe, look, on a positive point, there's all those Umbrella Girls looking for jobs.